Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 a.m., we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm super, super excited for this weekend. We got a big hockey game tomorrow night, a big football game Sunday. How could you not be excited?
How could you not be excited? That's a great point. Two teams with a lot of success just oozing out of them right now with the Titans and the Predators. We threw this out there, Jared, so I'll ask you, who has it worse right now, the Titans fan or the Preds fan?
Well, I mean, I think the Titans fan has it worse. So the Predators fan, A, had a successful season last year, and B, while it's not very likely, like, I would be shorting the Predators right now if they were a stock. I would not be buying them, though they would be at their lowest right now, and now would be the opportunity to buy, and if they, you know, turn a corner or something, you know, you would end up reaping the benefits. But at least there's a chance the Predators might figure this out. With the Titans, this is a long trudge towards the end of the year, and then they'll have to figure out what they're going to do from the top on down, and then they'll have to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. And, there's really no chance of the Titans being good this year, although Jeffrey Simmons did say that he thinks they can still win the division the other day, so there is that.
He did.
Well, the question, though, was more than this year. The question is more, you know, in the foreseeable future, you're a fan of these teams. Because, as you know, whatever you want to call it, Jared, we know that the cap is certainly soft in the NFL, hard in the NHL. So, with that in mind, does that make you think any differently?
Well, I think what makes me think differently is that the Predators have three first-round picks this year. But each of those first round picks, if they're used on a draftable player, represents somebody who won't be on the Predators for 3 to 5 years. Whereas, you know, the Titans may have the number 3 overall pick this upcoming year, and that guy might be Travis Hunter, who comes in right away and might be the best player on the team. So that makes it a little different. I think the big thing, though, that if we're really forecasting, you know, long term, I mean, again, the most important thing for me is the owner. And I think Amy has shown us that she may not be the best owner. And while the jury is still out on Bill Haslam, and this year is certainly not wins and losses been a great thing. I don't put that on Bill Haslam. So simply based on that, I would go with the Predators. I think the Predators have a better management structure than the Titans do. So if you're asking me big picture, the thing is the Predators still have the young assets. I mean, I know everybody's talking about the money they spend and the cap and things like that, but the Predators will have the ability to probably move on from some deals. Like, they could trade away Tommy Novak, and somebody, if you throw a little sweetener in there, probably takes that off your hands. The cap will go up in the NHL, albeit they don't know by how much. I saw, I think it was maybe an Elliott report or a Pierre LeBrun report nice. That came out that said that they're trying to push the cap higher and higher in the NHL. And the Predators still have pretty much all their young assets, whether it's Wood or Mullendyke or, you know, the Edstrom kid they got in the Askarov trade. They have the 3 first-round picks. They have the second-round picks. So they have the young guys. And my theory is with young guys and prospects in baseball and hockey, where it takes forever for those guys to come around, it's probably 1 out of every 5 or 2 out of every 5. Are likely to actually make it. So the Predators still have, you know, young assets on the horizon. The Titans, they have future draft picks, but other than that, they don't really have a lot of young hope outside of their left tackle. So I would still lean with the Predators.
So, Jared, you brought up Amy, and I threw this out there yesterday, looking at the situation with the front office, the coaching staff. Obviously, we'll see how the rest of the year goes. And that's going to factor into it. That's the most important thing. But she is paying John Robinson to not be the GM. She's currently paying Mike Vrabel to not be the coach, although I think that'll probably change when he gets a head coaching job this offseason. So if you fired the front office and or the coaching staff, you're then paying more people to not work for you. Do you think that should be a deterrent for A.B. Adams-Strunk when it comes to moving on from one of, if not both, of the front office and coaching staff this offseason?
So I don't think that's a deterrent for her, because her history shows she's willing to pay. You know, I mean, I know the Titans have a reputation for being a cheap organization, and to a certain extent, some of that is well-earned. But I think Amy's reputation is that she's got a quick trigger and she'll pay. I mean, she was paying 3 head coaches at one point. I mean, she extended John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, and she fired John Robinson 12 games into a new contract. So if you were a cheap owner who didn't want to pay your general manager, I mean, you may want to fire him to the hills, but you'd be, you know, grinding your teeth at the idea of paying a guy for really 5 years to not work. So I do not think that's the case. I don't think her reputation would indicate that that's the case. And the other thing is this. They're paying Andre Dillard $3 million not to be here. I can't imagine how much money a first-time GM or first-time coach like Rand Carthon or Brian Callahan make, but it's probably not in the $8 million a year range, which is for the top of the league in those categories. I mean, they're paying L'Jarius Sneed. They paid L'Jarius Sneed over the last 6 weeks to not play $8.8 million. So I understand the concept of, my goodness, you fire a GM, you fire a coach. I'm sure Brinker got a raise when they made him the president of football operations, and I cannot imagine that you would bring somebody new in that has to report to Chad Brinker. So if you fire all three of them, let's say that's $10 million. Again, I mean, that's what they paid Chidobe Awuzie to not play. So I don't think that's a deterrent, especially given her track record.
Just keep doing it. It's fine. It'll all add up. As long as she's courageous enough to keep firing people every 5 minutes, Jared will be
happy.
Well,
the problem is, the reason why she'd have to be courageous to be able to fire these people is because people like you say, if you do this, you'll be the Cleveland Browns. And I'd like to remind people, the Cleveland Browns have 3 wins right now. You have 2. So you already are the Cleveland Browns. You already are the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
But there's
a picture beyond the
Joe
current
Letrode,
record.
Who don't
I'm not
look
finger
at,
wagging. I'm finger wagging you.
Oh, you are a finger wagger.
Yeah, I'm pointing it at you for being an idiot.
For wanting to fire the guys that drafted a guard who sucks with the 11th pick?
No, there's a lot more to it. We don't have time to get into all the reasons, okay? I'm not pointing my finger like you better not do this. But I am saying, I hope that you, like, did some homework when you hired these people. I hope you know the plan. I hope that you're not just reacting to the record this year like you are, Jared, and that there's actually more information that you had that would tell you that these people actually do know. I mean, your argument, Jared, is that these guys don't know football. We've called them idiots every day.
They don't.
Well, that's just freaking stupid. Their entire lives have been in football. They know more about football than any of us talking right now know about football.
But I'm not claiming to know football.
Oh, yes, you are. You put up a poll about yourself being the GM, dude.
Right.
Right.
Because I don't know football and they don't know football.
Okay.
I mean, again, my whole thing is this. The idea, Joe will not get off this. He's moving the goalposts a little bit, though. He has been consistent with the Amy doing the homework thing. But again, it's still a finger wag to the owner to say, you know, if you fire these guys, you will look so stupid because you just hired them.
No, but see,
and
again,
I understand
hold
what
on.
You're saying.
No, but
no,
see,
no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, you wait a
I've
second.
Already, no, you've already cut me off at this point, so I'm going to continue.
This is my show. Shut up.
You've already said this 1,000 times.
Right, but
Here's my thing, Joe.
Again misconstruing it, Jared. I'm saying that. In terms of why she won't, that's why I'm predicting she won't. Because I'm not saying, again, you continue to twist that. I'm just saying that's why I don't think she will. You
because
get it?
She did her homework?
No, because she understands that perception. That's why I'm predicting she won't. I'm not saying that's why she can't. If she thinks they're bad, do it. That's fine.
Do you think they're bad?
I think that right now the results aren't great. I wouldn't fire them until another offseason. I know that's just an incredibly controversial take.
Well, I mean, I think it's the wrong one. I just don't want to sit through another season like this. And I am convinced that if you do that, then you'll sit through another offseason like this. And you might actually even make it worse because I think we can all agree. You know, I said this the other day. There's probably 3 true trains of thought here, right? There's fire everybody, get it over with, rip the Band-Aid off. There is the, hey, give them till next year, and everybody's on the hot seat next year. And then there is the, you know, and I don't think there are a lot of people that believe this, but there are the people that say, well, I mean, John Robinson, but he was so bad that you got to give him 4 years. You got to give him 3 more draft classes. I'm sure you guys have heard some of that.
We have heard
right?
some of that.
Okay. So of those 3 thoughts, I think the single worst one they could go with is they're on the hot seat next year. this team is not one offseason away, in my opinion, with these guys running it, from competing. So what they're going to try to do is they're going to start doing, you know, they're going to start making moves that would be job preservation moves.
Yeah, but see, the owner can't, you can't let that happen if you're the owner. That's why everybody has to talk to each other in an organization, Jared.
So Amy has to go to them and say, all right, guys, you're on
what's
the hot
the
seat
plan?
This year.
Don't surprise me. Win, yeah, don't surprise me with short-term fixes. What's the plan? That's
I
what you do.
I want to see us win, but I want to draft a young quarterback in the first round, when you guys know that more likely than not, when you draft a quarterback in the first round and you don't have a right tackle, more likely than not, you're not going to be very good the next year.
Sure. I mean, the point, I'm not saying they have to go 11-6 next year.
If they were the Patriots and they drafted Drake May, which, let's say Drake May was on the board in this draft. I think we all agree Drake May goes 1-1 in this draft, right?
I would assume so, depending on who's picking what. Yes.
You draft Drake May, and Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan have the same season that the New England Patriots are having right now, would they lose their jobs next year?
Next year? I don't think so.
Yes. You think they would keep their jobs with a 3-win season or 5-win season, whatever it ends up being?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying now. No, they would probably be out.
Okay. So now what you're doing is you want them to make the best decision for the long term for the Tennessee Titans. But that kind of draft pick and the kind of season the Patriots are having is not the best decision for them to keep their jobs. And no matter what you say to them, where you say, hey, guys, like, we're going to build this for the future, but you're on the hot seat this year, no matter what you do, those guys are not going to want to draft a rookie quarterback. Those guys are not going to want to trade out of a pick that could be Travis Hunter or the kid from Missouri or something like that to pick up more picks to build long term, because they're going to say, well, we need Sam Darnold at quarterback and we need the kid from Missouri so that Sam Darnold can throw the ball to him. Like, that's how they're going to do this. So to me, the single worst thing they could do is what you guys are suggesting, which is give them one more year, put them on the hot seat, and demand that they win right away. Because if you do that,
you just said two things that I didn't say.
Moves,
we don't have time to keep going back and forth. I said give them one more year. I didn't say they better win right away or they're fired. But yes, you give them another year and see if they actually, again, I think that this draft right now has some good things to it. I know for you it's, first round pick is good. That happens all the time. Everybody does that. No, that's not true. John Robinson almost never did that. So I'm not saying they have to. You're on the hot seat. If you don't go 10-7 next year, you're fired. That's not the point. Are you building a good team or not?
Let the record show that I said I would move on from the front office. So don't put me in the category of bringing them both back.
There you go.
Year.
You're right. Robbie, I apologize to you on that front. And Joe.
Good. Apologize to everybody and leave. Okay.
I'm not apologizing to you, Joe. My thing with you, though, about this whole, like, you know, well, J.C. Latham's good, so they should keep their jobs. You know, yeah, Rustin Webster and Ken Wisenhunt. Robbie, do you remember who their first pick was when they were together, Webster and Wisenhunt?
Was it Luan?
It was Taylor Luan. So should they have kept their jobs? Because they drafted a left tackle in the first round who was good. They didn't do anything else right. Should they have kept their jobs, Joe?
So is J.C. Latham is the only thing, only good acquisition? There's nobody else that's even, it's all bad. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Is there what would you rank as their number two acquisition over the last 2 years after J.C. Latham, which I think we all agree is number one?
Well, whatever I do, you're saying it's bad.
That's not true.
That's what you just said.
I want to know what you think it is, and then we can discuss it.
What's the number two acquisition? I mean, there's a few that right now aren't good. Like, we haven't seen it. Like, Chidobe Awuzie, I like that one. Hasn't played. Sneed.
So that's bad.
I like that. Oh, right now, yes, Jared. The crazy thing about this is there's more information we're going to get. I know it's hard for you to wrap your mind around. It's like in OTAs when the end of the world if Tavondre Sweat missed a day, for example.
MPT.
Right. I mean, I think Brownlee's a very good pick where he was. Sweat, we'll see. I mean, I'd like to see more from him. But again, the overall draft, it doesn't look too bad.
So a fifth-round corner that got two penalties, albeit I thought the second one was a little questionable. But a fifth-round corner that got two penalties that led to 14 Minnesota points on Sunday is the second best thing you
can
say
about
this administration.
And you saw the second penalty, right? You saw
pretty
that
bad
one.
Call.
Yeah. That's fine.
Again.
Hey, you know what? I hope she's courageous. I hope you get your way. Let's.
By the way, I'm surprised you didn't say Tony Pollard was the second best thing they did.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, they brought some good players in.
They got worse.
I think Cushion Bear is a good player. He blew his Achilles. I mean,
even though Tony Pollard's not as good as the player they let go, Tony Pollard is probably the second best move they made.
Jared will be listening at 2:00. Thank you for joining us.
I would like to see what the text line has to say about the second best acquisition of the Rancarthon era, because boy, it's hard to come up with one. When you're coming up with a fifth round corner, that's when you know. See you guys.
Thank you, Jared. We'll react to what Jared Stillman had to say. A lot of your thoughts on the text line to get to. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Thanks to Jared Stillman for joining us in the last segment. Joe, people very concerned about your health on the text line.
Yeah, heart rate monitors and whatnot, for sure. You've got also someone saying, that guy, Jared, bleeped up my whole day. Now I got to go get stoned before work? Wake and bake, baby! Maybe that should have been a pre-show meeting element. Hey, Jared's coming on. Pass this around. Puff, puff, give. Oh, my goodness.
Izzo!
Here we go.
Izzo! Hey, Izzo, don't Bogart the bong! Yeah, D-Hop, a lot of people are throwing that out as the second best. I mean, it's just, you know, I want an ice cream, and I want a hot dog, and I want Ran Fire, and I want a hamburger. You know, I mean, it's just, I'm not saying, that you put people in a position of, like, you know, violently defending a front office that I don't think has done very well.
Yeah.
It's just a front office that I don't think has done in this amount of time work that is fireable. I mean, it's just, you know, call me crazy. I mean, Dennis says, you know, you read the first 15 pages of the novel and you decide the entire book sucks. I mean, that is basically how Jared goes about his business. So he may be right that, like, they have no hope. I don't see no hope in what they've done. I do see a lot of mistakes. And it's not interminable that they're going to sit here and keep doing this. I just would not fire them. I mean, not because of the public perception. That's why I don't think she will. But that's would not, because, again, if I'm comfortable with what they're doing in their process, their scouts, their decision-making, their conversation, there are a lot of things that have not worked out. I mean, the Snead thing could be a real problem. Awuzie is a good pickup. It sucks that he got hurt.
Yep.
I think Cushion Bear is a good pickup. It sucks that he got hurt. Pollard's a good pickup. I mean, they've picked up some good football players. They have a lot more they need to pick up.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
So I got one thought on Ram, but you know it'd be a good drinking game. Listen to Jared's show. Every time he says the word PT or cancer curing model or fat feet, you got to finish your drink. He'd be sloshed in like 15 minutes, man.
Like, very well.
Guaranteed you get sloshed in 15 minutes. PT, AKA. I hate it so much. I wish Chase would step in and make him stop saying that, honestly.
Yeah, Chase, why don't you do something around here and get some people in trouble for saying PT?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's
the same way I felt when he would say, let the big dog eat. Like, it really makes me want to pull my car over. Like, it bothers me. But, all right, so yesterday, I don't know if you heard this. Like, what I want to happen now is I want them to fire Rand and hire Jeff Fisher just out of spite to Jared. Like, I want this to happen so bad. I want him to hire Jim Schwartz as head coach. I want him to bring the band back. And you know what? They'd probably be pretty good. I don't think – I mean, this narrative that Jeff Fisher was this big idiot that should have never even been in the league, yet he was 17 years our head coach. Like, and I'm supposed to just hate this dude because Jared tells me to hate him. This really pisses me off, dude. Like, I can't get over that. Like, it wrecked my night listening to him last night. I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna hate this guy. I thought he was a good football coach. Like, would he make a good GM? Who knows? Would Barry Trotz make a good GM? So far, not really. So, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm in on fire Rand and hire Jeff Fisher. I'm going to get behind that.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
I've heard Jeff Fisher's interesting.
I'm sure he is.
Just saying.
Probably not the route I'd go.
Get the band back together.
With all due respect.
Yeah. No, I don't know about it.
Although the Jeff Fisher Jim Schwartz combo, as he threw out there, could be very interesting as they move forward. Jeff's the GM. Jim Schwartz, you're back to head coach, baby. Get in here. Yeah, they'd be fun.
Yeah, I saw Jim Schwartz and Miles Garrett celebrating last night. Vrabel was happy somewhere.
Vrabel was
in
somewhere.
In that mix. Here's a text that says, Jared talks about owner dysfunction being the Cleveland Browns. Jared is the Cleveland Browns. Fire everyone every year, et cetera, et cetera. Also, Jared embodies, better to keep your mouth shut while others call you ignorant than to open your mouth or remove any doubt. A nice Mark Twain classic right there.
Caleb taking shots at Adam on the text line says we got to stop taking Adam's call.
Hey, let's rip everybody. Let's rip everybody.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More thoughts on the Titans coming up next. We'll also look ahead at what this weekend can be for the Tennessee Volunteers. Who needs to lose? And how realistic is that for an actual chance to happen this weekend to get them back in the college football playoff? All of that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Also, make sure you join the Preds tomorrow for a special 6 p.m. puck drop as they welcome back to Smashville Hockey Hall of Famers David Poile and Shea Weber. There will be a ceremonial puck drop ahead of the game. Coverage beginning at 5 o'clock on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here in just a few minutes.
Katie's chiding me for the Jared segment. Kyle Tucker and I are passing back and forth messages that I probably won't share in the air. But they're
probably
pretty, but they're pretty funny. Malaria mouth. There's one I can share. someone is questioning my humanity on the text line for yelling at Jared. Yeah, Jared and I are friends. Everybody relax.
People don't believe that. People just think that you two despise each other. And I have to tell people all the time, like, no, generally speaking, pretty much like each other.
Yeah, I don't.
They just happen to yell a lot.
I don't despise Jared. I want to fix him. It's not going well.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. One texter says, since everyone is hot this morning now, my hot take for this weekend, if the Preds get blown out on Saturday, we'll see a major change at coach. With this being ceremonial puck drop for Shea Weber and David Poile for the Hall of Fame, the team can't get blown out.
Sounds like some Amy Adams Strunk type stuff in Houston or something like that. It's like, Bobby April,
Trotz
get out of here.
Walks in. You guys just got beat 6-1 by Winnipeg in front of Shea Weber. You guys are fired.
Or, which, by the way, hire a new staff. They're all gone.
Shea Weber was in the game or was at the game on Wednesday against Seattle. So he flew back with the team there. So already 0-1.
He's seen
Shea
some
Weber
good Preds hockey.
Yes.
They're still yelling on in the YouTube chat about like this talk show with like I was like, well, so he helped. He was a huge part of them getting the Stanley Cup final. And the next year, he came in second for the Norris for the President Trophy team. But he had a talk show. And the answer was, well, they could have done better. Imagine if he didn't
what
have the
talk show. Did he have?
I don't know.
I'm still
know.
Trying to figure this out.
I don't remember any talk. If it was like, was it public access TV and none of us could watch? Like Wayne's World? Like, what are we talking about here? Also, yes, I mean, they could have done better. So it must be the talk show that was the issue. And the state tax. If he would have just paid him, just P.K. Subban paying state tax.
We did get a texter earlier that said, I will take the Titans and the Preds sucking for the rest of time if it means that I don't have to pay a state tax.
Yes.
All right, man. I understand that.
I'm with you. Totally. Let's go. I'm signing up for it.
615-737-1025. Big weekend of college football coming up this weekend, Joe. Indiana taking on Ohio State. Tennessee with a mighty matchup against UTEP. They currently find themselves on the outside looking in of the college football playoff. Still a couple weeks left to go, and then there's conference championship weekend, so lots can change between now and then. But what is Tennessee looking for tomorrow? What's the most realistic outcome, do you think, that gets Tennessee back into the college football playoff bracket once next Tuesday comes around?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting one in terms of, like, next Tuesday. But there's four games that are rooting interest, and it's also interesting because they're all right around two touchdown lines. So if you want to go by most likely per Vegas, so Ole Miss at Florida. You want Ole Miss to lose.
Yep.
Ole Miss favored by 12 at Florida. I'm interested in that game. I like Ole Miss. I would pick Ole Miss, but Florida is playing better. And look, Lane Kiffin's teams, super impressed with what they did against Georgia. That was just a tremendous performance. And as we know with Lane Kiffin, his teams have come up on big moments before and fallen flat. But I still feel like there's some inconsistency possible with that team. So Penn State at Minnesota is the sneaky one. It's the same line. Penn State on the road, minus 12. Minnesota is a decent team. They're an okay team.
Row the boat.
That's right. Row the boat, P.J. Fleck. That's one to keep an eye on. Because if Penn State takes a second loss, and then they're going to sit there, and I don't even know who they play at the end, but it's nobody good. Like, they really, right now they are being propped up by, they've blown some teams out, and they were competitive against Ohio State in a loss at home. If they lose to Minnesota, they are not making the field. Like, you can just get them out of there. I mean, I really believe that. So that's a big one. I think they're going to win, but again, kind of interesting. Same, similar line. Notre Dame, two-touchdown favorite. Army in Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. You know, Army blew out Navy, but if you watch that game, Navy could not have just botched that game more than a team could not have botched that game more than Navy.
Notre
did.
Dame blew out Navy. The Army Navy game has not happened yet.
Oh, did I say Army blow? Yeah. Yeah, my bad. Notre Dame blew out Navy, and Navy actually was moving the ball at will, and they kept giving them the ball. Army's offense, Bryson Daly, it is a fun offense, and I think they're going to move the ball. Can they get any stops? They need to be the reverse of Navy and tip a pass at the line and pick it off. But again, so you got like three games where it's roughly a two-touchdown line. You need all those. And then, of course, the other game where it's right in that range, Ohio State minus 10.5 at home against Indiana. That's where the favorite is who you're rooting for, and you're rooting for the favorite to just absolutely blow Indiana out of the water and really strengthen the Wes Rucker-led screams that Indiana should not only not be in the playoff, but should not be in the Power Five and possibly not even in college football anymore.
You know what's amazing about this whole thing is – the Alabama Crimson Tide are going on the road to Norman, Oklahoma. And I've not even thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, think about that before the year.
Was supposed to be a huge game going into the year. Circle that one on the schedule.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if they lost, I mean, that would be third loss. They'd be out.
That is another one. Yeah, you're
right. Nobody's even looking at it, which I don't blame nobody for looking at it, but it's just amazing. That's kind of the year that Oklahoma's had.
And the funny thing is, that's a similar line. It's Alabama minus 13.5. I feel like there's no hope on that one. Now, another one.
Oklahoma looks terrible.
They do. Now, another one that could factor in, we've talked about the Texas A&M-Texas game at the end. Well, if Auburn can upset Texas A&M at home tomorrow night, and then Texas A&M can beat Texas, now that's ideal scenario. If you're Tennessee, I think both of them are out of your way. So that's another one. So there's a lot of games that could help you. I don't know, in some cases, yes, you'd be right back in the field on Tuesday, but there's a long term, the Texas A&M, they're only 15 right now. But if that were to happen, and then you can project ahead to them on rivalry week winning that game, Texas is like Penn State. They have, they are propped up beyond what they've done, in my opinion, by the committee.
Does P.J. Fleck still take off on like a dead sprint when they come out on the field in Minnesota?
Oh, with that collar popped and stuff? Oh, you better believe it, baby.
I mean, that might set the tone tomorrow.
Maybe the Flexter, maybe LSU needs to look at real quick on that. So Michigan flipped Bryce Underwood, number one recruit, 2025 quarterback from LSU. To Michigan. So, first of all, I now am looking at Brian Kelly, and he's vulnerable. I wouldn't predict him to be fired after this season. I would not lose to Vanderbilt tomorrow if I were Brian Kelly. It'd be very bad. It can go very bad, very fast in college football. Also, Michigan, the amazing, awesome thing about this, we were just talking with Charles Robinson about Connor Stallions. Bryce Underwood plays at Belleville High School in Belleville, Michigan, and Connor Stallions just a few weeks ago switched to them. He's an assistant on their staff.
It all comes back to him. He's still helping Michigan.
But it's also hilarious, though. Like, before NIL, some people were like, oh, yeah. Now it's like, I think the $10.5 million may have had more to do with Bryce Underwood going to Michigan. But I'm sure it was also like, hey, I'm Connor Steins. Dude, you should go to Michigan. It's so awesome, man. It's so awesome. Listen to me, Bryce. So I'm sure he also had a, you know, a hand in this. Congratulations to Connor.
$10.5 million. Good for college football.
Absolutely. Apparently, LSU was only offering $1.5 million a year. So, can I do that math? $6 million.
Yeah.
So apparently, per what's out there, $10.5 to $6 million. That's a blow. I mean, that's blowing them out of the water.
It is. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad. 1025-1063. The game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, I love it here, and I'm victorious. It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. Glorious, and I will defend.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
So before we get into this incredible, awesome thing that we're about to talk about, I'd just like to say, you know, yesterday my worst in sports was Adam Schefter.
Yes.
We're going to kind of get into the newsbreaker thing here, right here. I don't ever, ever, ever want to hear Adam Schefter make any reference at all to consummating a relationship in the bedroom. And so now we got Jay Glazer tweeting like, oh, like we all haven't done that, Schefter. I'm like, I don't want to hear about you having sex either, dude. None of you guys. We don't talk about that.
It's a really weird thing.
I mean, this should be like banned. No one wants. Congrats on the sex. No one wants to hear about it. Okay.
Agreed.
Now I've not seen Rappaport. I don't know. Or Rappaport. Or Rappaport,
as we're about to hear.
As we're about to hear. Let's please don't. This is bad enough, Ian Rappaport. Let's roll Mike. So this is on a Jacksonville radio station?
It was on a podcast, I believe. I will find the actual name of it as we're playing the clip, but it was glorious yesterday. Joe, you could set it up.
It was glorious. Pun intended, or maybe not. Yeah, so Mike Mularkey, I don't know what the – I mean, I've
Action
just seen...
Sports Jacksonville, by the way.
Okay.
Action Sports
okay.
Jacksonville.
So this is Mike Mularkey talking about when he was fired.
You know, the best thing I did there at the end, which I can now talk about, was when I got called in that Monday morning after the New England game, I knew they were going to fire me. So – Sunday night, I called Ian Rappaport, and I said, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to break it to you, but I'm getting a new contract in the morning. And he reported that it was all over the country I was getting a contract in the morning, knowing that I was going to get fired. But I just wanted to see the faces on the owner and the GM who was out to get me, and I'm pretty sure I got him for a minute or two.
That's amazing.
That is awesome.
When I walked in the next morning, there wasn't a whole lot of conversation. It was like, you're done.
Mike Mularkey pulling so one awesome. Over on Ian Rappaport. So this is – there are a few things about – beyond that being freaking amazing. And by the way, hello, TD. TD's in studio with us right now. You do an in-person segment next. And I'd love for you to weigh in too. A couple things on that. That are beyond the amazingness of him totally screwing over Ian Rappaport. First of all, he said the owner and the GM who was out to get me with, I think he was just referring to
the GM, John Robinson. Yeah.
Also, you know, if you remember that presser after, I know we've talked about all this stuff too, but the presser after, you know, John, I remember vividly that day, John Robinson's presser, and he was asked about basically like if Terry Rubisky, if that was sort of a sticking point, right? That was kind of the narrative. And it's interesting hearing Mularkey talk about that because it doesn't sound like there was any like, what about Rubisky? It was just like, you're fired, bye, thanks, right? Like, now, again, maybe they were back and forth with that previously, but I thought those were two interesting little tidbits. Like, did Ian? Like, did Ian go off? And like, if you're Ian Rappaport right now, first of all, I mean, you already knew this happened, but like at the time, what must have
it's gone? It's kind of awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Ian Rappaport was upset, probably rightfully so. Yes. But it's pretty hilarious.
This is why you always double source.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Just because one tells you something doesn't mean it's necessarily true. So you try to get that double confirmation.
Yeah, like it's, especially if it's like on two sides of something, right? Where it's like, No, I mean, that's I hope I hope Rappaport like went home to some loving, you know, and felt better about it that day. I don't know. But
might have been able to use his embarrassment as an excuse.
That's right.
I need some extra tender care tonight.
It's been a rough day at work.
A little sympathy.
Real bad. Oh, but I mean, look, Mike Mularkey, make no bones about it. That guy's not afraid to throw some things out there.
I mean, obviously Mularkey, on a Pittsburgh show, talked about the whole thing with the Rooney Rule stuff and how Mularkey was a total, like all those interviews were sham interviews, which happened in other organizations, but he was willing to go out and say it, and no one in the Titans ever contested that, by the way.
Yep.
Although Jared did run an interview with Steve Underwood saying, well, it was a really tough process. So Jared should never be allowed to question anybody else for taking the Titans' word on anything. But, no, Mularkey is – he's kind of a national treasure too, you know? Like, I think we need more Mularkey just telling all about, like, how the hamburger is made.
Somebody
in the NFL
needs to get him on a podcast – and let's explain how this whole thing with the Titans went down step by step. I would love to hear it. Love to hear it. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I would love to hear it.
Mularkey needs to write a book, man. Let's get there. All right, we're bouncing around here. Okay, so this Mickey Masters on YouTube, and he's probably just trolling, so that's fine. Is it Big Joe?
I don't know.
Oh, God, it probably is, right? Well, anyway. So he's screaming about this PK Subban talk show. So you found out, Robbie, he did one during All-Star break?
I don't know if it was only one, but the one I found, which had Roman Yossi on it, was an All-Star special. So, yeah.
Yeah. So he, during All-Star break, talked to his late-night teammate. That must have been the whole problem. So I'm going to just assume you're trolling now, Mickey, because you can't possibly be this dumb. But if you are, then we've set you straight. Thank you.
We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with TD coming up next. More of your thoughts as well to get to on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.